The Bible tells us that faith in Jesus is refreshing. There's rest in that. There is joy in that. You know, Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 11 that there is rest in Him. You remember that passage? Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 11 and let's look at it there. Matthew chapter 11 verses 28 through 30. There Jesus says that if we come to Him, we will find rest. Matthew 11 verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There is rest in being a Christian. There's refreshing.
Amen.
You know, our media oftentimes paints a different picture of being a Christian. I watched the news this week and saw the media talk about Christians picketing at abortion clinics, and they talk about media having recently guns in the or people being shot within the church building. You remember those stories? The national media portrays Christians as a group oftentimes that's very distraught and very worked up and with not much rest. But that portrayal of Christians, which some would get even from funerals. Oftentimes when people think about religions or Christians, they think about, well, when funerals come around, that's when we talk religious stuff. Very dark and sad events. If you look at the national media, you might think, well, Christians are oftentimes kind of a sad lot, kind of a judgmental lot. But the reality is that Christianity, the Christian faith, is meant to provide rest and to provide joy and refreshing in our lives. Is that true for you? Do you find that Christianity, your faith, refreshes you? Or not? Do you find rest in your Christian faith? Or not? Well, this morning I want to look at that because I want to assure you that our Christian faith should be refreshing to us. It should be a source of joy and rest and of strength and encouragement. And if you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to consider being a Christian because there is a great deal of joy and rest in that, both in this life and in the life to come. And the book that I want to look at that demonstrates this is the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon. Two times in the book of Philemon, we see Paul talking to Philemon and talking about the refreshing nature of Philemon's faith. That from Philemon comes a joy and a strength which refreshes other people. And so I want to look at that and how that can be something that we learn from, that we grow in, both in an appreciation of the joy of our faith, but also in the ways that we can lighten other people's loads and provide rest and be a refreshment to others. Let's look at how Philemon's faith was refreshing. Now, if you turn over to the book of Philemon, that's the book just before Hebrews, you see that Philemon is a letter written by Paul to Philemon on behalf of someone named Onesimus. Now, Onesimus was once a servant of Philemon. So there's three people involved here: Paul the apostle, Philemon, who was the master, and Onesimus, who was the servant. And Paul writes Philemon, whom evidently Paul already knows and may have actually led to faith based upon one statement in the book. Paul writes Philemon and asks Philemon to receive Onesimus back. Onesimus has run away from Philemon. He was a servant. And as it turns out, perhaps providentially, he ends up with Paul and he becomes a Christian. And Paul writes back to Philemon, his former master, and says, "You receive him back as a brother. Don't punish him." And in fact, Paul suggests that he send Onesimus back to Paul so he can be of service to him. And so this is a letter about a practical request from Paul to Philemon about the servant Onesimus. But it's more than that. It's more than just a letter of practical import. It teaches us about the Christian faith and what Christians should be like one with another. And what we find here is that Christian faith is refreshing. Philemon's faith was refreshing. You see that word a couple of times here. Let's see the ways in which faith is refreshing. First of all, Christian faith refreshes when people say nice things. Don't you know that's true? When people say nice things to you, don't you find it refreshing?
It's a good thing when people say good things to you. And it just gets down to that practical level in the book of Philemon. In Philemon 1, 4 through 7, Paul talks about how people were saying good things about Philemon and how he refreshed Christians. Let's read here Philemon chapter 1, verses 1 down through verse 7. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. You notice what's going on in these verses. Paul says that he's heard good things about Philemon from people who have passed it on to Paul. And Paul is telling others about that good things. And so the good news is like a conveyor belt. It begins back over with Philemon, who is saying and doing good things about Jesus and others. And other people start to talk about it and say, hey, have you heard about Philemon? And Paul hears about it, and he starts to talk about Philemon. You can see how the good things that were said back over there, Paul's talking about, and that's how it is in our life. When people say good and nice things, boy, you know, it kind of gets around. And Paul says, you know what, Philemon, you were refreshing. You see that in that final verse, verse 7? He says, you refreshed the heart of the Christians. And how did he did it? He did it by saying good things, by being nice, by being loving to other people. And that those good things get passed on. And that ends up being a refreshing thing in people's lives. And so what's clear is that Philemon was saying good things about Jesus and about other people. And that's one way that we're refreshed in the Christian faith. It's just nice things being said about Jesus and nice things being said about other people. We need that in our life. We can't get enough of that. You know, in the New Testament is the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is gospel? Good news. And that's a source of joy and refreshing. You remember back in the Gospels, the angel Gabriel began by proclaiming the good news about Jesus. And many other people talked about Jesus, the good things about Jesus. And that was a source of rest and refreshment to know who Jesus was. There's one passage I want to look with you here in the book of Acts, in which you see how Peter shared good things about Jesus. And what a wonderful thing it was to share the good news about Jesus. Turn with me over to Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And look there at how Peter, in his proclamation, his preaching to the Jews, says good things about Jesus. And again, the point here is that we find refreshing, we find joy and strength when people say good things about Jesus. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, Peter's preaching about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. So he's talking about Jesus, and he said, you know, God anointed him. He had power. And it goes on to say, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Peter just says, you know, there's a lot of good things to say about Jesus. God was with them. He went around doing good. He healed people. He was powerful. He shared those good things about Jesus. And so too should we. We should say good things about Jesus and find the joy that comes in that. But not only that, you remember back in Philemon that Philemon was saying good things about other people and they were saying good things about him, and there was encouragement in that. The word in the New Testament for saying good things about other people is blessing. You know, we sometimes think about a blessing as being a good thing that comes down from God, and it is that. But the other meaning is something that's said well about another person. That's literally what blessing is. And the New Testament teaches us that we should be blessing each other, not in the sense of, oh, you know, I bless you, you're somehow special, or, you know, God's going to give you a gift, but in terms of saying good things about each other.
Look at a passage which teaches us about this. Turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. Peter is teaching the Christians here in 1 Peter chapter 3, 9 to 11, about how they should talk to each other. How should you talk to other Christians and to other people more generally? And he says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that we shouldn't repay evil for evil. He's talking about how brothers and sisters should treat each other. He says, don't repay evil for evil or reviling. That's bad talking for reviling. But on the contrary, bless. Speak good about other people. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and to see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good, and let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Peter says that the way that we should speak to one another is blessing, saying good things to one another. And he says if we do that, that'll be a blessing. It'll give us good days. It'll cause us to love life. And you see the apostles and Jesus doing this in their life. When they had the opportunity, blessing other people, saying good things to them, saying good things about them. Let me point you just to a couple of examples so you can kind of see what this looks like. Turn with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16 is one of a number of places where Paul blesses other Christians. Paul routinely talked in good ways about other Christians, because he knew that it refreshed them, that it gave them a rest from the derogatory comments of the world, and it encouraged and strengthened them. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 through 18, he talks about this guy named Onesiphorus. You'll see different pronunciations, but Onesiphorus was a man who evidently was had a household, a family, and helped other Christians. And look how Paul talks about him in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day, and you know well all the service he rendered at Ephesus. Paul does this in a number of places. We'll not look at those today, where he calls out on Christians. So, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, Paul talks about the household of Stephanas in this same way. And he says, these are people whom you should recognize because they've done good things. They've helped me and they've helped other Christians. And what he does is he blesses them. He says good things about other Christians. And what a refreshing thing to have that happen in our life, with people say good things about us. And so I want to encourage you this morning to take to heart the example of Philemon and also here of Paul and what Peter says, to be blessing one another. Let's be saying good things about one another so that we find joy and strength in one another. Let's make a habit of complimenting one another. And I'm not talking about the preacher. I'm talking about each other. You'd be saying good things to one another. So if someone has been sick or if someone has been hurt and you see them in the assembly and you know that they're hurting, they're not feeling well, compliment their presence in the assembly as an encouragement to you. Say something good to them about that. That means a difference. If someone has served the Lord, the church in some way, don't let that go unstated. Let's mention that and thank them for that. And even if you don't know someone very well here in the congregation, there's ways that we can express gratitude and state. So, for example, some people will write a card and they'll say, "Will you just read this during the announcements?" And it's one way for us to acknowledge what someone has done for another. And that's wholly appropriate. That's recognizing the good that we've done one another. And so let's make a practice of speaking good about and to one another. Like Philemon, we should also make a habit of speaking well and good about Jesus.
It's not enough just to have Jesus in our heart. We need to talk about Jesus. Not necessarily try to convert other people, but to speak good things about Jesus, just like Peter did there back in Acts chapter 10. So make a habit of thinking about how we can speak well of Jesus to each other. If you have a Christian spouse, you might say, you know what, I'm glad that Jesus brought us together. Or if you have a member of the family whom you're trying to encourage, talk about how you admire Jesus and his family. Or if it's just a friend, mention how you want to be more like Jesus. You know, just in a day-to-day context, you can just say, you know what, I just realized how much I want to be like Jesus. That's a positive thing to say about Jesus, which can be an immense encouragement and bring refreshing in our life. And Paul, back in the book of Philemon, said that Philemon was that kind of person. He was refreshing the hearts because he talked about every good thing that they had in Jesus Christ. Now, look at Philemon. Let's read a little bit further in Philemon and notice how else Paul and Philemon found their faith to be refreshing, to be comforting, and to be strengthening. What we find, beginning in verse 8 of Philemon, is that Paul is making a request to Philemon. Now, he says in verse 8, he could have commanded it. He is an apostle, after all. But he doesn't command it. He prefers, he says in verse 9, to appeal to him. And he to appeal to him on behalf of Onesimus. And so he says in verse 11, formerly Onesimus was useless to you, but now he's useful to me. And so he's sending Onesimus back. Look in verse 12. He says, I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me here in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. And so he says in verse 15, for perhaps this is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but now much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So what is Paul asking? He said, receive Onesimus back. Don't punish him. Receive him as a brother. And what we find down in verse 20 is that Paul says to Philemon, in verse 20 he says, yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. In other words, he says, you will be a joy to me, Philemon. You will refresh me if you do what I say. And that's what we find. We're refreshed when other people do what we ask. You don't think that's true? Isn't that refreshing? I say, honey, you know, I really could use a glass of water. She says, oh, sure, I'll be happy to get that for you. Oh, that's great. I'm so happy. You know that feeling, right? You know what it feels like when they say no. Well, what we find in the book of Philemon is that we're refreshed as other Christians when people give us or do what we ask for. And that's what Paul's saying. He says, you know, Philemon, I'll be refreshed if you do what I ask for. And that's true as Christians, is that we encourage and strengthen one another when we help each other out, when we have a request, and we give what each other needs. And so we can do that in a number of ways of providing for each other's requests. And so in our lives, it's so wonderful when someone gives us what we request. Have you ever gone up to your boss, if you had a boss, and say, you know what, boss, I really could use a raise. I'd like a raise. And what do they say? Well, maybe no, and that feels bad. But you may have been in a situation, Jeremiah, you were kind of in a situation long ago. You ask for a raise, and they say, okay. Wow, that's great. They gave you what you wanted. And that's how it too is within the church. If I go up to brother so-and-so and I say, you know what, I really need a ride. And they say, yeah, sure, I'll give you a ride. What a refreshing thing. Any of you ever been in that shoes? I'm just stating the obvious here, folks.
It's a good thing. It is refreshing as Christians when people hear what our needs are, hear what we ask, and they say, I got you covered. I'll care for you. Or you say, you know what, I really need to be able to study with this person. Could I use your house, your room? You got more room than I. Could we go have this Bible study at your house? And someone says, yeah, sure, we can do that. What a wonderful thing that is. Paul was in that situation with Philemon. He says, hey, Philemon, I need you to do me something. I need you to do me a good one here. I need you to take Onesimus back. I need you to treat him right. And it will be refreshing to me if you do that. And in Christ, in the church, we have a group of folks whom are fellow believers whom will do what we ask for. If it's in accordance with God's will, if it's reasonable, yes, we will. And what a refreshing thing as Christians to have people who care for us, who are looking out for our good and will fulfill the needs that we have. We encourage and strengthen each other by being open to each other's needs. You know, if you've been in the church for a long time, you realize that there are so many things that require us to be agreeable with each other, to put other people's perspectives ahead of our own. One of the passages I oftentimes come back to that kind of states what the attitude of Christians should be when they're asked for something is Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Turn with me over to Romans 12, verse 10. And I think this is a good principle for how we should conduct ourselves within the church. Because Paul tells us how we should be looking out for each other and caring for the needs of each other. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Look with me. He says, regarding the way that Christians should treat one another, love one another with brotherly affection. Fair enough. Outdo one another in showing honor. In other words, when it comes to how we treat one another, we're trying to honor each other more than anybody else. In other words, if you ask me for something, it's like, oh, I want to honor that. Let me do what I can. Let me help you. And that's the sort of spirit that we should have as Christians. And candidly, that's just so refreshing. In a world where everybody's trying to have their own way, everybody can be so selfish to come into a people whom are looking out for each other. That's what we're about. And that's such joy and such strength in that sort of refreshing. And Paul says Philemon was someone like that. And so we go the extra mile. We care for each other out of that sort of love. Then finally, this morning, go back to Philemon and notice how Paul tells us that we're refreshed, we're strengthened, we're encouraged when other people give us a place for rest. Now, that's both literal and metaphorical, but that happens in Philemon. We when people are willing to kind of give us a place where we can rest, that is so refreshing. Notice what Paul writes to Philemon and asks for in verse 22. Well, let's back up to verse 21. He says, confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. That's the Christian confidence in each other. And in verse 22, he says, at the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Paul says that one way that Philemon could refresh him and strengthen him was literally to prepare a place for him to rest, to have a guest room ready for him. He literally wished to be refreshed by Philemon with a place to stay and to rest. And that's something we can do for each other and for others who may be coming to visit from other places. Jesus, our Lord himself, taught the importance of providing a place of rest to other people. Look how he did this. Turn with me back over to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 31. You know, Jesus is someone who understood that in the life of God's people, we need to have some rest. We need to provide each other with space to be able to have downtime. You know, the way this is sometimes put is we need to have margin in our life. You know, if you look at my Bible, yours is the same way. I imagine you have a Bible where you have a lot of words, a lot of things going on, a lot of words. But what do you have between those words? Margin, white space. Words don't make sense if you don't have the white space. So too in our lives, all of our busyness, all of our work can't happen if we don't have some downtime, if we don't have some rest. And Jesus is someone who taught the value of rest, and he provided that sort of space for his disciples. Back over in Mark chapter 6, verse 31, he tells the disciples, he says, come away. You need to come away and have a place of rest. Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. Many people were coming and going, and Jesus emphasizes the importance of them coming to a quiet place and finding some rest. And so, too, in the New Testament, we're taught that Christians should provide rest, a place of rest for other people, concern for them, and giving space for their needs, showing hospitality. Perhaps one of the best-known passages on this is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2 teaches us that we as Christians should practice hospitality. That means loving the stranger enough to give them a space for their needs. If we need to host someone, willing to do that. Notice what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. He says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." So Paul says to Philemon, you know, you can refresh me by giving me a space to rest. And so too, Christians, we give each other spaces to rest. If someone's visiting from out of town, what do? We provide a space for them, family and friends, and that's important. But I want to conclude this morning by emphasizing how the space that we give as Christians for rest is oftentimes the space of our assembly here, the worship space that we have. This should be a space that is refreshing both to Christians and to those who are not Christians. We should be a church here in our assembly and our worship space where everyone feels welcome. Those who are Christians and those who are not, and those who are trying to find their way to God or to greater strength, they find that this is a place that encourages them in that journey. You know, sometimes people say, well, the church is for the churched, those people who have learned what the church is. But it's not just for the churched. It's for those who are unchurched, those who have not put on Christ, those who are learning more about who God is. And if you're not a Christian here, I want you to know you're most welcome here. We're all on a journey towards God, seeking to be pleasing to Him. And this is a place where you can be refreshed. Amen. We want you to be able to be here and to learn more about God. And when the time is right, to become a Christian. That is our prayer. But we're all here seeking to be pleasing to God and as sinners to be closer to God. And so this space, our building, our assembly, this is a place where newcomers and strangers should feel welcome and find a refreshing place to learn more about God. So what do? When people come in, people who we've known a long time and people who are completely new, I know many, we greet them warmly. Why do we do that? Why do we greet people who are strangers to us? Because we want this to be a place of refreshment, for them to feel welcome, and they are, because we're trying to serve God. And so we want to create a space for them to grow and for us all to grow. What should be the attitude of Christians towards those whom are weak and those whom are coming along in their relationship to God? What should be our attitude? But, you know, Paul talks about this. Turn with me over to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Paul talks about what the attitude of Christians should be towards those whom are faint, whom are weak, those whom maybe aren't yet Christians, but whom are in the midst of Christians. And I think this speaks to the kind of people that we want to be. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, Paul writes, "Let's urge you, brother, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good for one another and to everyone." The image here is that, you know what, if there's someone in the audience who is just trying to become comfortable with the idea of worshiping God and they're not doing much, they're idle. He says, you know what, you need to encourage them. You need to warn them, but encourage them. If there's someone whom is weak, you know, someone whom we know, they're not what God would want, but they're trying, they're showing up, and they're seeking to do what God wants, it says to help them. If it's someone whom is faint-hearted, in other words, they're barely able to worship God. He says, encourage them. Encourage them. And what I get a picture of is an assembly of people that is refreshing. It is strengthening. It brings rest. You come to me and you're like, oh, okay. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to serve God. And I know that these people care for me. They're concerned for me. And they're not going to put me in a difficult spot. They're going to help me. That's what Paul depicts. And that's what we seek to be as God's people here. And so this morning, the point of this lesson is that our faith refreshes. It strengthens us. It gives us rest. It encourages us. And you see that in the book of Philemon. And we refresh others in our life by saying good things, saying supportive things, and complimentary, encouraging things. We support each other by doing what people ask of us. Don't underestimate the importance of fulfilling a request that another person gives to you. And then finally, we create a restful space, both within our assembly and our homes, for people. I know many of you do this, and I want to encourage you in that. Keep it up. It's so important. It mattered to Paul and the Philemon, and it matters so much to this world to have a faith that's refreshing. Thank God for the faith that we have that brings us joy and rest and peace in Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian, my prayer is that you will grow closer to God in your faith towards Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. Don't trust in me. Trust in Him. He is your Savior. And I pray that you will come to the point in your life that you can trust Him and that you can put Him on in baptism. That's God's invitation. If you are a Christian and you've wondered and you need the prayers of this congregation to help you, I pray that you'll give those right now while we stand and while you sing.